Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Hi, I'm Kelly Evans, host of CNBC's The Exchange. This is Conversations with Kelly, where I take a deep dive with an expert on a topic I'm particularly interested in. Today's discussion is with artist Frederic Duquette, and he's kind of a big deal, one of the best-known names in the NFT world. His work often features moving crystals, flowing water, and Salvador Dali-esque animations. It's really quite beautiful. Today, I want to talk to him about the explosion of this new digital art, a lot of which is not very high quality. A lot of pieces, especially celebrity pieces, have already fallen in value. So how would he recommend people start collecting NFTs? And how does he see it all evolving in the next couple of years with the rise of crypto and the metaverse and the implications for big brands? So with that, welcome to the podcast, Frederic.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
You'll notice I haven't said your artist name yet.
Yeah, it's all good.
This is a family podcast.
that makes sense. It's okay. I totally understand that.
But people can kind of can look at how we'll label this and understand it. I think the most important thing to mention is that, you know, I actually first saw some work of yours in the background of a guest that we were speaking with on air about, I think, this topic. And he kind of pointed it out as if to say, like, you know, don't be overwhelmed by all this talk about NFTs. It's really just this really cool moving crystal behind me. How did you get involved? Like, for how long have you been an artist? And how long have you, would you consider that you would kind of call yourself a digital artist?
So since I was really young, I always wanted to do like art in general, but I never exactly knew what kind of art I wanted to do and where I was sitting in the art realm. So maybe 7 years ago, I discovered like, I deep dived into like digital art and like 3D animation and stuff like this. So I really started to, like, I was working in a restaurant 40 hours a week and I had other, like plenty of other time to learn something. So I decided to learn to do digital art and 3D animation. Digital art wasn't really a thing back in the days. It was mostly like, if you were doing 3D art, you were like working for studios and yeah, it's just like pretty much just working for other people. There wasn't like actual digital artists other than like maybe PlayStation and like Kid Mograph maybe and like stuff like this. But other than that, like it was really not a lot of like digital artists back in the days. So yeah, I started like pretty much 7 years ago and I completely fell in love and I started to do work for studios and stuff like this. I didn't really like the commercial side of like this. So I consider myself more of an artist than an executant, which is why like the NFT space is actually perfect for me.
That's amazing. Let me jump in for a second and just make a couple of observations. I mean, the fact that you went from working 40 hours in a restaurant to making, you know, some of your art has sold for quite a lot of money. And I can imagine your collaborations with these luxury brands are somewhat lucrative as well. So when people look around and say, you know, where did all the waiters go? I mean, the pandemic is part of it, but don't you think that NFTs and everything that's going on with crypto, the blockchain and what's, you know, coming with the metaverse is in many ways empowering artists and maybe offering them lucrative roles at a much bigger scale than was, you know, imaginable even just a couple of years ago. Am I making too much of it?
No, I mean, it's with everything that's happening right now, it's like we're trying, like, it just makes, like, I don't think it's what we're living right now is permanent. I think it might happen more often. So I think like living digitally makes kind of sense, but like you'll still need like as a human being, like you still need some social connection and social interaction. So I think like waiters in restaurants are crucial. Like to me, I would never go in a restaurant where I order from a screen. Like if I go to a restaurant, I want like to have like this like intimate feeling of like doing something, you know. I don't know if that answered that question, but
yeah, no, I you know, I think part of it is just, you know, looking at your example and musing on what's going on and thinking about, you know, all of the different ways that work and art is changing. So yes, there's definitely still going to be a role, obviously, for restaurants and for those spaces. Yeah. I mean, part of what I wonder about is these DAOs. I'm going to sound like so out of touch when I talk about this, but, you know, you can now, you know, pay to get tokens to be a member of a DAO. For instance, you could have your own DAO. Maybe you have one already. That's kind of a collection of people who are your fans and want to not only own your art, they want updates on the projects that you're working on. They want to know how much your pieces have sold for, and they might want to meet up in real life, right?
Yeah. So I'm currently building like two DAOs. So I'm working on this indoor skate park. It's going to be in Vancouver. So it's mostly an art installation that I want to do, that it's going to be like a skate park as well. So every skate setup will be like an art piece, basically. So I'm working on this one, and I'm also building this metaverse that we just changed the name for Ellipsia. So I'm building this, and we're also building a DAO where the holders will be able to have some power into deciding what's the next step, basically. So I think it's really important, and it's a new way of building businesses, basically. It's like you're giving power to the people that believe in you, which is completely amazing.
Oh yeah, it's incredible. Let's talk, for example, about the metaverse, and just so people know what we're talking
and
about.
I just want to say, like, for people that doesn't know what's a DAO, it's a decentralized, decentralized autonomous organization, which means people put like the. I'll do this really briefly, but like you put in you either you buy a token and you put in your ETH address, and you have control of an organization with like your friends or other people to create something. Like they almost bought the constitution by creating this massive like DAO, which was pretty interesting. So just wanted to.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I think people are trying to understand. You know, it's easy to be dismissive and go, oh, a bunch of these kids with too much money want to buy a constitution, or, you know, oh, these weird looking, you know, digital pieces of art are selling for millions. This is obviously a bubble. I mean, you must get comments or hear comments like that all the time, not directly aimed at you, but just out there in the world. And how do you explain to people that, no, there's something real and powerful and lasting going on here, not necessarily to the valuation of everything that's sold, but that these are the tools that are building the worlds of the future?
I think the action of trying to buy the constitution was more trying to prove that we can raise money quicker than we used to be. We have the power to get together and build something and in a faster way than we could before. I think that's, we shouldn't just look at, oh, these kids are trying to buy the constitution. We should just see like how quick we got to raise $40 million. In 70 hours, it's pretty crazy. Like people are actually getting together to build something. Like, and it's not like one person that owns the business and that is taking the old profits. Everybody gets to get a part of it, which is completely amazing. And there's some NFT project that doesn't really look good, and you see them and you're like, why is this selling for $1 million? I don't understand. And like it makes sense that people think like this, but it's just a new way of like it's a new economy. It's not the same thing. It's like the picture could be anything. What's important is not even the picture, it's the token behind it. Why is this token important? What it's the utility of this token? It goes beyond just a picture of an ape with sunglasses. I think the reason why like the image is like super silly, but people connect to it. So that's what's important. And people connect to the community, people connect to the utility of it. So yeah, like it's, there's always going to be people that doesn't understand, but they're going to come eventually and they're going to be like, oh, so this might be real, so I'll get into it. And
oh yeah, I mean, I joke that like the best Christmas present you could give someone this year would be, you know, Bored Ape or CryptoPunks number 6,000, or you know, a Bored Ape or something like that. I mean, one of the interesting things is that as people are starting to realize, oh, these are going to be the images that are meaningful for the next generation, they're starting to pile in and want to buy them. What would you recommend for people who have never bought an NFT, but either want to kind of dabble for themselves or maybe want to give one as a gift this year? And
I don't understand
what the difference is between actually possessing that and just screenshotting the image and sending it to someone and going, look, here you go.
So I truly think that giving NFTs for Christmas is such a cool idea. Everything is not like financial advice for sure, but I truly think like this is an amazing gift. Like when Bored Ape started, I personally minted around 50 Bored Apes back in the days. And when this started, I gave 3 Bored Ape to close friend to mine, and they weren't as valuable as right now. And some of my friends just sold them for $200,000. Which is pretty crazy when you think about it. Like I literally gave them $200,000. Do I regret it now? A little bit. No, I'm kidding.
Can I stop you for 1 second? What do you mean when you say that you personally minted them? Because I think that's part of understanding how this next wave of artwork is rising.
Yeah. So when the project is when a sale project is happening, you go either on the website and. Some of these projects are not minted already. So for them to sell out, people have to mint them, which means that the first purchase is being encrypted on the blockchain. And this is interesting because you see some Bored Ape, they're minted either by me or Pranksy or stuff like this. And people are looking for Bored Ape that has been minted by a certain person, which is really interesting because now we're talking about provenance and
and
NFTs is all about like provenance. So by buying this, you get a piece of like my first investment basically, which is really interesting.
That's incredible that it's not just about, I think people are familiar enough with the idea of crypto and how you have to mint Bitcoin and that sort of thing, but the idea that in minting these images, it also matters to them whether you minted them or other really popular and famous people minted them. And that's part of the value. Do you think that value is going to last? You know, so there's a couple of iconic ones that I've mentioned. I can understand, you know, people wanting to gift them. And at this point, they're pretty pricey, like you said. There's a lot of newer, less expensive stuff. And a lot of the celebrity and associated stuff that seems to have maybe very little staying power. How would you explain where to find value?
So the main thing is you look at the economy and you look at who's the dev. So there's a lot of deep work to do on a brand. And it's really important to buy something that you understand and you know, because most of these projects, like most of the NFT project will turn out to be nothing because there's a lot of bad stuff, like very low effort stuff coming out every single day because people are making millions. Like you do a collectible project of 10,000, you're basically making $5 million in a week of work, which is completely nuts. Now we're seeing less and less of these because some people got really wrecked and it was really bad for the ecosystem of like the NFT space. So people are starting to learn more. Mm-hmm. So I think like doing your own research and make sure that you're buying into something that is thoughtful and wants the best of out of you. Like this is the main thing. And so how to know that? You need to be active on Twitter. You need to interact with people and make sure like a lot of people that you trust support a project. This is a green flag for me. And once I get these green flag, I go deeper and I see like, I look at like white papers and like make sure like everything makes sense when you buy it. But you can also buy NFTs just because you like the art as well. Like I bought some NFTs that will probably lose value over time, but it's a piece of art that I personally like.
Yeah.
So it depends how you see it. Like if you only see it as an investment, like, I don't know, I don't think it's the right approach. You need to get in as like, you like the art, you like to support these artists or these projects, and yeah. And if you make money, that's a bonus. Money should just be the bonus.
Yeah, and I think the whole point in these emerging ecosystems is the community itself. You know, you want to be part of that community. And yeah, it's hilarious to me that we're already seeing huge investors with a ton of money go, great, I'm going to make, you know, 8 to 10 to 12 to 15% in NFTs. I have no idea how they can reliably pin down a figure like that for something that is so nascent and early that, mm-hmm, you know, they absolutely might get lucky, but it's going to be very difficult to predict. And there's a lot of low quality stuff out there. But everything that you described is, I think, well, of course, you know who's legit and who to follow and what,
yeah,
like how, you know, if my friend on the street goes, you know what, I want to get my kids some like super cool NFT for Christmas. I mean, they would have no idea. Is there anywhere to go that would tell you, other than really expensive stuff,
what, yeah, would be so
worthwhile?
So the main thing is like most of the celebrity like shilling NFT project, these projects are scams, literally. Like I won't say any names, but like most of the time when I see like an influencer or a celebrity like pumping some NFTs, it's most of the time a scam. Like not a scam, but like it's never gonna gain value, because what people want in the NFT space is, example, if Jimmy Fallon has to start like a NFT project. If for it to succeed, it would require Jimmy Fallon to be active in the community and engage with the community. Like, and we've seen it like with many artists, like music artists that has so much success in the NFT space, and some that are even 100 times bigger than them have no success in the NFT space, yeah, because people know that like ASAP Rocky won't interact on Twitter space with these collectors. Like,
so yeah
exactly. So I think like for an artist or like someone who wants to create something thoughtful and good for the environment of this NFT space has to be present, has to build something that feels like is connecting people, because what we're looking at and what we're looking for is like connecting people together and make, like, it's all about community basically.
But it's interesting to me that, yeah, that Twitter is, you know, it struggles as an investment. It's not a multi-trillion dollar company like Facebook and all the rest of them, but it's kind of the gateway into these communities and into, yeah, learning about them. And it's always kind of interesting to me that at least in this year, 2021, it's not worth more. How would you also explain the importance of being familiar with Discord? I mean, I'm when I first downloaded the app to try to follow some of this stuff, I texted my brother and I was like, hey, where's my feed? And he's like, no, yeah, you have to be invited to stuff. And I'm like, who's going to invite me? Like, I can't even figure out how to use it. Yet if you want to join these projects and follow these people that you care about, it's very important, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And some people might hate me for saying that, but you know, I see Discord, like I see like as a many little private golf club.
Yes, it's like the fraternity, I joke.
Yeah, and like I bought like some very, very expensive NFTs. Like we're talking like very pricey. And what's interesting with these NFTs is they come with this like some Discords, and you have like access to some of the smartest people in the world, basically, like sharing ideas and sharing like project that they're working on and making you invest in their project. So it's pretty cool, because you like by buying NFTs, some NFTs, you can get in contact with people like that you would never be in contact normally.
Which absolutely.
Which is something that I truly believe and love about like the NFT space and Twitter and like Discord, is you get to meet people that, if like, I live in Vancouver and like most of my friends, they don't live in Vancouver. And most of my friends that I have now, I made them during the pandemic on Twitter and Discord. Which is crazy, like, and this is why I'm super bullish about like the metaverse. Like, if I want to hang out with my friends are not in Vancouver, so how do I hang out with them? I go in the metaverse, I go in CryptoVoxel, Decentraland, and to, like Twitter is considered the metaverse now.
Yes.
So yes.
No, and it's funny that Facebook now renamed itself Meta. And I know that Jack Dorsey was kind of rolling his eyes on Twitter about that, but in a way Twitter should be Meta, right? They're the kind of original metaverse that without the visuals began as that opportunity for all of us to go and connect with people in that community. So let's just dwell on the metaverse for a moment, because you did mention a few minutes ago that you're working on one. How can you work on it, right? Explain to people, what companies are you working with? Where does this exist? How do I access it?
So basically I started this project, Fuck Randiverse. That was like 9 months ago, and it went super crazy. It was like a virtual experience where you can see my art. And it was super like simple, super like minimal, but it looked completely insane. It looked really good. And it was like the first metaverse by an artist. I did pretty much everything by myself. And this really sold out in 0.5 seconds, if I remember.
What do you mean you created a metaverse and it sold out? I mean, I can see an NFT, but how do I see a metaverse?
So this wasn't a true metaverse because it was a single player experience. But so why I still call that a metaverse is it was the first phase of the metaverse I was building. So I started to use Unreal Engine, which is a game engine. And I never used the Unreal before. So in 1 month, I literally created like this virtual experience that people can download and go there and like walk in on a planet with art installation, basically. So I did this. I started to hire more people. We did the next release where it sold out in 5 seconds again. And this came with like other planets. People started to buy planets. One planet sold for $180,000 or $260,000. Something like this. By Bitcoin Profit on Twitter. The first one was bought by Oshiny for $34,000. So I started to build this, and I was like, this needs to be huge. So I started to invest a lot of money with companies. I hired like studios to help me build this. We're currently working on the economics of this place. Now we're changing the name for Ellipsy. I'm hiring like a studio to help me make sure that this is going to be a Web3 experience, multiplayer. People will be able to hang out there, and like it's going to be like an exploration game where you find NFTs hidden in this world. You build stuff and you collect stuff in game, and it's going to be really interesting to see.
The first way that I would access this metaverse, like the one you built, which sounds amazing, is more or less by playing a video game, right? I'm not putting on any headsets right now or anything like that, am I?
No. And personally, I don't like, there's going to be some gamification for sure, but it's not a video game. It's more like a virtual experience.
But you're watching when you have a television screen.
A computer, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're practically building this to be like a very crazy experience, and
then people will have to pay in order to access it. It's almost like any other, you know, like it'd be like going to Disney in the real world, right?
Yeah, no, it's going to be free to play. But people, example, like what we're trying to build, we're trying to build like I released this collection of like the Fuck Crystals, and this project was 4,169 computer generated crystals. So people that bought them in game, they will have perks that no one has. They'll be able to, I cannot really talk about like the economic mechanics, but basically you'll be able to farm these crystals to generate tokens. And it's gonna get really interesting. And people, like, our goal is to give back to the community and make sure that people that bought gem render piece, they get rewarded, basically. And we're really focused on other people getting rewards. So we're trying to build like this like open world where like olders will have not priority, but like advantage on other people, but letting other people to join and just have fun and explore this metaverse.
Let me ask you one more big picture question, and then I definitely want to talk about brands and the future of kind of existing in these worlds. But the one observation that I'd be curious for you to react to, as I'm learning more about a lot of these Web3 opportunities, I know they're meant to be co-op-y and kind of disintermediate the big tech platforms and empower creators and empower fans. But all I can think when I hear them is these are frats where it's all about status and money. And can you explain how people are going to try to address that problem, which will get worse as kind of tourists with a lot of money want to buy their way into the cool kids club?
Mm-hmm. Not sure to fully understand what you mean. Like, you mean like people, like example, if I have the Fuck Universe and you have like these rich guy coming in the Fuck Universe buying everything, right?
Or what happens to the person who, like, for example, with the Bored Apes and the CryptoPunks? I mean, if you knew about it years ago, maybe you have one. Otherwise, you need a lot of money to buy one today. And how do you, doesn't that feel like it is the same thing that people are always complaining about in the real world?
Yeah, I think this is inevitable though. And I like, there's always going to be like extremely rich people that's like, it's pretty hard to, it's pretty hard to control, but like if you have a pretty solid community, I mean, you can kind of protect it, but But to be fair, like so far, like I haven't seen anything really bad. Like I personally own four CryptoPunks, and I don't know, everybody's so nice, and even like some of the richest dudes, they're pretty chill. But yeah, I don't know. It's actually a good question.
I haven't anything nefarious about it. I mean, again, the creators, this is a massive wealth transfer from those with money to those who created these worlds, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think what you're describing is there's going to be a balance and also finding ways to make sure that the true fans and the ones who want to be part of the community are the ones who still have opportunities even as the price of everything goes up. Let me kind of that note ask you, you've partnered with so many great kind of luxury companies already. You mentioned a moment ago all the people that, you know, you're trying to work with for your metaverse. If I'm listening to this and I have a handbag label, or I'm a shoe designer, or I'm Nike, or, you know, they're obviously doing, how do I move my brand into these future worlds, right? Yeah. Like, is that a collaboration with you? I mean, what does that look like?
It depends what you're doing, but like what I really want to start seeing is like independent creators, like people as like clothing brands or shoe brands, stuff like this, to create a virtual version of their product and for people to wear in the metaverse. Look, if you go on Decentraland and you look at like Bored Ape, like it's the easiest example. They made Bored Ape hoodies in real life, and they made Bored Ape hoodies for Decentraland. So you can go on Decentraland and you can literally buy a hoodie that is a Bored Ape hoodie, or I don't think you can buy them. I think you need to own a Bored Ape for this, but you can buy other people's clothing on Decentraland, which is really interesting. And we're going to start seeing this more and more and more since the metaverse are like they're coming. And especially I'm pretty sure with Facebook coming, they're going to have like this marketplace where you'll be able to buy like virtual shoes and stuff like this. And people will find that silly, but like the real thing is like especially COVID really proved that. Like if you go buy an expensive pair of shoes during COVID, no one will see them. If you go in the metaverse with millions and millions of people you can encounter every day, people will see this expensive pair of shoes. So, and the human nature loves to flex so much that they, if they pay something expensive, they want as many eyes as they can on this item. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I think to go back to your question is like, try to find a way to for people to use your product virtually, because we're going there anyway, and like you better make the move before everyone jumps in.
Yeah, and before they find new status symbols to flex, basically.
Yeah.
So we're almost done here, and we can't talk anymore or else my head will literally explode and I need to go play around with Decentraland and try to buy a Bordy sweatshirt tonight and all the rest cool. of it. To the extent that you feel comfortable, can you just talk about how lucrative this has all been for you? And what does someone like yourself, who was an early involved with crypto and NFTs, and now you have, I'm sure, these profits, and like you said, you're trying to figure out how to give back or how to invest it, or I don't know if you literally have to now talk to financial planners or if you're like, no, I got this, I'm good. Could you just talk a little bit about what that's been like?
I had a financial planner, and he told me never to invest in crypto, so I kind of ditched him a little bit. I'm like, this, everything that I'm saying is not financial advice. I'm not like, I have no study in financial, so but to me it was pretty life-changing, honestly, and like to everybody around me, like it was pretty life-changing. All my artist friend, we don't need to work 90 hours a week for a gig that might delay our payment for 4 months, you know. So it's pretty crazy, and it's actually really lucrative, especially if you reinvest in the community and you buy like these NFTs and you're smart about your money. And it's for sure extremely risky. I think I got pretty lucky with investment. I was really early in Axie Infinity and it went pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. I was really early in Bored Ape. I was still semi early in CryptoPunks and stuff like this and Art Luck. So like I did pretty good investment for myself. I think it's pretty crazy. Like it's really life changing, and like most of the people I'm seeing, like just Bored Apes found so many millionaires this year because of Bored Ape. Like it's crazy. Like there's they probably spawned like 4,000 new millionaire, which is pretty crazy. Like I don't know, like to me it's really life-changing, and I'm beyond grateful to see like people that used to be in difficult condition that now they have this freedom, and this is because like the NFT space. And like some of the people, like so when I saw like these 4,000 crystals, there were I think 17 that were handmade, and they were selling in secondary market, they sold for 40 ETH, which was like maybe $180,000, $200,000. Wow. And someone wrote to me recently, and he was like, you have no idea how your project changed my life, because now I'm debt free. I paid my mortgage. Wow. I bought my mom a car. Like, and he was like losing his mind. Like he was like, this is so crazy that this is happening with like to me right now. And I'll be forever grateful for this. And I think as a creator, like this is the main goal that we're trying to do, is like, if my project can change people's life, this is like the best feeling ever. And I'm not saying that from now on it's gonna change your life if you invest in whatever I'm building, but like, yeah.
That is quite something. So how many people do you employ, or do you think you might employ, if all of these projects continue to gain traction over the next decade or so?
Billions, millions and billions. It's pretty crazy. And you see like all of these small studios like mine or like Artifact, they're building these massive studios because they're having so much revenue, and they're able to hire so many people and so many amazing artists because they're able to pay for good people, and they're able to pay a good salary for good people. Like I did like some virtual NFT commercial stuff, and it was 100 times more money than I was doing the traditional commercial work for existing gigs or artists, you know. So I think we're going to start seeing like an increase of revenue and demand in both ways. I think it's easier to make a more not neutral economy, but like a more shared economy, like
more distributed.
Yeah exactly. Very. I mean, for now, I'm pretty sure brands are going to come in and it's going to be different, but we'll see.
Well, I think, again, none of this is meant to be forward-looking. It's not financial advice. I think it's about understanding what has already happened and culminated here as we head into the winter of 2021. This isn't about a silly picture that sold for a lot of money.
No.
What you're describing is so much bigger than that.
Yeah, and like a lot of people complain about like this silly picture, but like they did it. Like they actually did something. You didn't do anything. So like stop complaining about what other people are doing and just start doing something.
I think it's the opposite. I think it's people who spent 40 years, you know, building their career to become, you know, an executive, and they were away
from
And they turn around and go, this isn't fair. I've sacrificed everything and I don't have, you know, $1 million, you know?
Yeah, no, that, yeah, this part, I didn't talk about this. Yeah, that's for sure. It's frustrating, but like, but you see this opportunity, you should, like, if you sacrifice your life on something, you should always keep an eye out for every opportunity, and you shouldn't be close-minded on what's happening, because, like, what's happening right now is, like, everything is happening so fast, so you can get in so quickly, and people are so welcoming, like, anybody that joined the NFT space and they buy like an NFT, they're making instant friends, which is so crazy. Like it's I love this space so much just because like of all the friends I made by buying the same NFTs and getting in the same interest of other people.
No, and it shows, that passion shows. Again, since this is an audio podcast, it's hard to show your work, but we'll include links wherever we can, and people will start seeing it everywhere, and they're going to be like, yep, I know all about that. So thank you so much for your time today. It's really been fun. It's really been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
We hope to check back in soon.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, everybody, thanks for listening, and be sure to follow The Exchange podcast to catch more of our conversations. You can also find our show live weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern only on CNBC. See you then.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.